Blog Talk Radio.
Extremeness is here. XOHL, a view from the blue line. Sponsored in part by the Extreme Online Hockey League.com. Special co-host weekly. Call in show. Come hear the hits, the stats, the rumors, and the hot topics. Come be a blue liner. Let's be extreme. Hey folks, welcome to the Blue Line. I'm your host, Lacard22. May the 4th be with you. Yeah, I'm nerdy and I like Star Wars. So, yeah, kind of fits the theme for tonight. A lot of the teams out there down 2-0 tonight. Games 3 and 4 being played tonight, both series. And a lot of the teams there need the 4th with them today. Boston facing elimination quite possibly tonight, as well as my team, the Montreal Canadiens. So sit back and relax. Let's get things pumped up. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about how things went so far. We'll be right back. Running the back, a little lady style, Eye of the Tiger. Quick question for you. It's going to you, Willie. What wrestler used that as his theme song back in the early 80s? If you can answer that question, I think it was his original theme song. I think it was came out in WrestleMania 1. You can tell me who that wrestler was. You got to call in. I'll give you $2,000 your gambling money to put towards tonight. If you can call in, Willie, and give me that answer. Somebody may be able to call in before that. The number 646-716-8472. What wrestler used that as his actual theme music? I believe it was in WrestleMania 1, and I think he changed it after WrestleMania 1, but that's a quick question for you. Not a big wrestling fan, but I do remember that WrestleMania 1 back in Junkyard Dog, and all the good wrestlers were there. Anyway, let's turn things back to XOHL. We've got lots of stuff going on tonight. We'll run down and preview last night's games. Of course, we all know that the Boston Bruins and the Montreal Canadiens have been waiting patiently. The exciting 7-game series between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Winnipeg Jets. That went down to the wire. Big kudos to the Toronto Maple Leafs last week. They took it to 7 games. They came back down a 3-1 deficit, which is very difficult to do. And good job for you guys. But fortunately, they couldn't pull out a 7-game victory. And the Winnipeg Jets move on. But good job. The Ploop and the boys over there did their best. PK did his best. And PK, as you know, has been nominated for Jack Adams Awards this season. And what he's done with that team, him and TP. And TP is actually nominated for GM of the Year. So what those guys did with that team, they did amazing. They should be not ashamed of how they put that team together. And, awesome. So good stuff. So as you know, of course, the sweep. I don't think it was a sweep. I think it was 4 games. Was it a sweep? I can't even remember. Oh, I should look right down here. Anyway, in the other series, Nashville beat Dallas. And, of course, Nashville's facing Montreal. So right now, it's as it stands, 2-0. Nashville, 2 games over Montreal. They took 2 in Montreal last night. And, of course, Winnipeg took 2 in Boston. So the question remains is, was the bye hurtful to those two teams sitting around? I know my team didn't practice a lot. I didn't practice a lot with my team. Did we get a little rusty? Did we lose that chemistry over the week? That's the question that always comes out every season when we do the bye. And I know this year the BOD are working really hard to eliminate that bye. We could have had everybody make the playoffs, but a lot of the talk back that came back last season was owners that felt that, what's the point of ever making the playoffs? Why are we bothering to play the regular season? So the bye was instituted. So hopefully we'll have 10 teams this season, and this time we won't have to do a bye. And for this upcoming Season 5 XOHL season, spring-summer season. So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a winner, but you got to call in, Willie. I'm not accepting that answer until you call in. So Willie has the answer there, but I won't announce it. Willie, good job, buddy. I figured you'd know that. And, Eye of the Tiger. It was Hulk Hogan's theme song. WrestleMania 1. I think he went to a Real American Hero or whatever it is. I'm a Real American after that, if I'm not mistaken. Millen, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You guys have me on the line. Maybe it's Willie. Is that you, Willie?
It's Hulk Hogan.
Who is this? Willie. Is this you, Willie?
Yeah,
congratulations, buddy. I figured you'd know that one.
Oh, yeah.
You may be able to correct me on this one, but I believe he went to I'm a Real American in WrestleMania 2, if I'm not mistaken. Did he not?
Hulk Hogan? Yeah.
Yeah. I think he only stuck with the Eye of the Tiger.
He only did it for one.
Yeah, if I remember correctly. Now, some of you old folks, how old are you, Willie? So you would have been old enough to watch WrestleMania 1. You might have been just
negative.
Just sprouting. But WrestleMania,
I just used to play the arcade game all the time when I was little.
Hell yeah! Are you old enough to remember? I don't want to get talking about wrestling all night, but do you remember when they used to have a Saturday Night Main Event?
Yes, that was.
They used to have that. I think
watching.
It was every Saturday night. You'd have a main event.
Yep.
It was a title match. It used to be a title match. Whether it was Intercontinental title or it was the championship title. Now there's too many fucking titles, it's hard to tell. But anyway, Willie got the answer. I'm going to throw $2,000 in your bank. Congratulations. Now you can stick around and hang out with me, or you can or you can take off, whatever you want to do.
Tell you what, I'll call you back in a little bit if I find something interesting.
All right, there you go. I'll try to keep the trivia more to you. So there you go. There you have it. Hulk Hogan's theme song right there. So thanks, Willie, for that. And let's talk about last week. Oh, we finished talking about last week, but let's talk about this week. Let's look at game one last night, the Winnipeg Jets, Boston Bruins. Now, again, I say, did the bye hurt the Bruins? Did the bye hurt the Montreal Canadiens? Maybe so. Who knows? We'll know tonight. Perhaps the sitting around and collecting dust for the week didn't help with chemistry. But the Winnipeg Jets capitalized on that. They put Airsoft, Lido. Actually, no, they didn't put Airsoft, Lido out. They put, Lido, Voracek, Revetup was supposed to play but didn't show up. And, of course, Resnick on D? The hell's up with that? There's a different change. Resnick on D, that doesn't make any sense. Well, they still pulled the win out, surprising enough. They pulled the win out, 5-1. Looks like they dominated in this game, 16 shots to 5. Boston's, I don't know, maybe Luch, you can come on and explain what happened. You know, best team in the league, getting their asses pretty much handed to them in the first game of the series. Was it jitters? Was it just everybody just didn't have their chemistry going? Was the defense not there? Was the offense not there? Sounds like it was offense. Looks like they couldn't put any more than 5 shots in the game. And, of course, once again, we have disconnections last night in the first game. Skullduggery, he legged out the third. And Disco. Disco's been a big issue with his legouts. And I know there was some contention in the game in regards to that. But hopefully things will be better. The servers will be better tonight because it really sucks trying to play a playoff game when there is that much lag. Looking at game two last night, again, the Winnipeg Jets taking game two, 4-3, a little bit of a closer game. Looks like the shots were pretty even. Foxbrook was scheduled to play in that game. She didn't play that game. She got a no-show warning. Oh, deputy commissioner. Anyway, she had a legitimate excuse for that, family emergency. But she got a no-show warning. But again, Disco lagging out 3-1-3. So, the question comes to, there was a big debate in the chat box last night about it is in the rules that if a player lags out more than twice, they have to replace that set player in that position with another player who's not in the game. They didn't do it. I don't think Boston requested. I'm not sure what the issue was. But it is of the league's mindset that a player is also considered a goalie or a skater. It doesn't say skater or goalie. It says a player. So really, when it comes to legouts like that, it's not fair for the other team to have to go through that. And when it definitely can have an effect on momentum in the game. So I'm pretty sure that tonight they'll be a little bit more dubious about that. I'm not sure if Disco's playing that tonight, but, 3 legouts in 2 games, either get a new router, bud, or, move up from dial-up to maybe high-speed. Might help out a little bit. So I can understand why it's quite frustrating for other teams to have to play through that. So especially when it's goalie legout, because we all know Disconnection. That's awesome. Willie has coined that. Willie, you need to make that into a SIG. Disconnection. Love it. Some wordsmith that Willie. Oh, Willie. League wordsmith right there. But anyway, hopefully things will be better tonight. Boston Bruins are going to pick up the pace. Doesn't seem to be a lot of enthusiasm from the Boston Bruins management. I don't know. Lucic is kind of like, whatever. Yada, yada, yada. He may be just doing that for show. Doesn't want everybody else in the league to know that he's actually trying to pump his boys up. I know Willie's pumped. He wants to play. So, who knows? What's Luch going to tell his players tonight? I know he was asking for an LD tonight. Maybe there's going to be an issue, somebody showing up. We're about 40 minutes away from game 3. But it just doesn't seem there doesn't... Is Boston just like, whatever, we'll let the cards fall as they may? Or is he saying, boys, we top of the league this season. We should be taking away the cup. We should be going into the Stanley Cup Finals. All the pressure's on us. Let's get it done. But it doesn't seem to be much of that coming from Luch publicly, perhaps privately. So, Luch, if you've got an explain and you want to call in, call in. It'll give us a time to 646-716-8472 to have make-up butt sex, as well as talk about, you know, what you're going to get to do to motivate your team to pick up the pace tonight against the Winnipeg, just because I guarantee they're going to be coming at you with full force. Willie's fucking pumped. Willie's going to rage on stream if people don't carry their weight. Awesome. So I love to hear that. I'll be watching that stream quite closely. I want to hear Willie rage. I want to record that rage just in case I want to make a T-Pain song for the show. So love to have some pregame interviews from new owners tonight. Looch, you want to hop on? Iceman, you want to hop on? Tell us what you got game planned, or give us an idea what you're thinking. That'd be great. The lines will be open for most of them. We're going to hear for 90 minutes. Let's move over to the other series where we're looking at, of course, the Montreal Canadiens. Again, facing the same situation as Boston. Not getting their asses, handed them a little bit more than Boston is. Game two was a struggle. I was in that game. We outplayed them. Basically, I think it came down to this, to the fact, I mean, I'm not really 100% sure, but actually I'm 100% sure, and I'm going to call it out right now. Kurdog, of course, something happened with his profile. Ended up taking the default goalie, and he struggled with that in the first game. But all things considering, he did play pretty darn good as a goalie. He held his own until, of course, that third period breakdown. We outshot them. You know, our penalty killer wasn't all that best. Dickus was a phenomenal on the faceoffs. Time and attack was, you know, we played a really solid game. It didn't seem like connections were there. Now, there was a lot of guys that were from other leagues that were playing that half an hour mark games, and we were in a hurry to get the game started. The game didn't start. I don't know if there was 100% focus there. So that could have thrown things off. It just didn't seem like everybody was focused. Dinkus, very focused. I'm going to tell you, man, this guy's hardcore. The guy's on tour right now for music. He's a tour manager for some bands out there. Very interesting guy. I'm going to tell you right now, the guy is so hardcore, he's playing in a hotel that the TV in the hotel room didn't have a proper connection for him to play. So he went out to Best Buy, bought an actual TV and a new headset to show up for the game last night. That is what I call hardcore. So he showed up to play. It just seemed very quiet on the ice. There wasn't a lot of people saying anything. Dinkus, Finchie were saying stuff, but just didn't seem like there was a lot of get up and go. It's like maybe some people felt that, oh, I got to play in this. I don't know, but it's playoffs. Get your shit together. Don't schedule yourself in other games in other leagues. It's playoff time. We're down 2-0. Get your shit together. Show up on time. Read your availability. Let's get her done. And, like, again, is it an issue of quite possibly us sitting off for a week, not really having the chance to play together? I know it'll be interesting to see tonight's lines, because Shortcut King as well as Affirm Data have been playing a lot of hockey together. It'll be interesting to see how those guys turn out tonight. And they're feeling quite comfortable with each other. So Montreal couldn't pull it off in game one. They went down 5-2. I think they played a solid game, but I think with the combination of, you know, maybe people not being focused enough, the goaltender not having the stats that he was, and mind you, he did well with the stats that he had, may have been a factor in that game. Of course, Holmes rule, Undershot King, A1 freak, you couldn't throw, there you go, Undershot King, even though you spelled my name. My name's not LaGuara, it's LaCara. And, you know, you guys popped in the goals when you needed to. And, you know, you can't let these guys up offensively. And that's basically what happened. It was tied 2-2, 3-2 going into the third. And then all hell broke loose. Then in the game two, I wasn't in that game, so I didn't have the privilege. I don't know what hell happened there. LeSaint, who's been playing one of the better of the two goalies this past few weeks, let up 9 goals, which is quite surprising for him. So I'm not sure if it was an issue of defense. I'm not sure. Again, it was an offensive issue. You know, we still popped in 2 goals, but 18-8 shots. This is not playoff hockey. Montreal cannot be taking losses like this, 9-2. You know, it's just unfortunate that it's happened that way. Will that affect LeSaint? Will that affect his confidence? Will he show up for tonight's games? He has a habit of, when he has bad games, not showing up. And, of course, there was a lag out last night with Dinkus, and I know Dinkus was playing on a hotel connection last night, but it's got to be stepped up. Of course, same lineup in the first game, and of course, these guys were just on fire from the second game and just absolutely dominated. You know, 6 minutes on the attack, 3 minutes, 37 seconds on the attack. just unbelievable. I mean, that's not we've never played Nashville that bad, and you know, majority of the games we played with them have been pretty tight, and hopefully they can clean things up tonight. So there you have it. So let's take a look at the quick of the standings a little bit. Let's have a look at the league leaders for this week thus far. I didn't talk about it last week. And we don't total the playoffs. I don't know why. But the Enforcer over in Toronto actually walked away with most points last week. That was quite interesting. Hope's Downfall from Nashville. He got 14 points there. He tied up there. And Lido from the Winnipeg Jets. Nashville dominating the points department there last week. And as you can see, Hope's Downfall, Lido was there. And Undershot King, you're there, buddy. And, of course, everybody, quite a few people in the double digits for the first week. Unfortunately, those Toronto players will not hold the top because they're out now. And, of course, goaltending-wise, Disco probably looked like one of the better goalies last week, went 4-2. At the end of the week, he had a 3.97 goals against average, 70 save percentage. Marshall Soros, he did well 3-1, but not hard when you're pretty much dominating the Dallas Stars over there. I was supposed to have a co-host with me tonight, but I do have a special co-host. He just walked in the door, and in honor of the Star Wars Day, whatever you want to call it, I'd like to welcome my special co-host, R2-D2. What's going on, R2? Oh, okay, R2. Welcome to the show. R2's going to be with me here tonight. R2, I want to thank you for joining the show. I'm glad to have you here. Just kind of running down the leaders. I think Rainbow Treasure was going to join me. We'll talk to him later on the show to actually see what happened in the downfall of Dallas. But R2, are you ready for an exciting night tonight? We're not going to the Dagobah system tonight. We'll wait till the next night. But R2, thanks for joining us. You'll be with us here all night. We'll be asking his input as the night goes out. And there you have it from last week. Top goal scorer of the week last week. The Enforcer, of course, he had popped in 8 goals. And good stuff to you, Enforcer, but I don't think you're going to hold on to that title because as it stands this week, Holmes rules. Already sitting there with 7 goals this week. See 11 points. That's in 2 games. So I think they've scored 14 goals in 2 games. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 goals in 2 games. And, of course, Undershot Kid right there underneath him. And with 10 points, I'm going to say Undershot Kid. That's how I'm going to say it from now on. And, of course, Airsoft. Late transition by Winnipeg, popped in 7 goals last night. He's going to be in the last couple of nights, he's going to be a definite force to help them out. And, that's what's going on there. We've got A1 Freak Course, showed up for his 2 games, popped in 6 goals. Going to be a tough match for Montreal against them tonight. They've got an uphill battle as well as the Boston Bruins, but you never know. Things changed in the last series. Toronto came back from a down from a 3-1 deficit. Boston definitely has the ability to do so. They are a powerhouse team, and they definitely have the chance to come back and win that. So that being said, let's take a quick commercial break, a little pump-up music for you guys, getting ready for the series tonight. And when we come back, we'll talk about tonight's games. Welcome back. If you can name who sang that song without Googling it, I'll give you $1,000. We're back, 646-716-8472. Want to hear from the owners, Iceman Mupp. Come on, call in. We want to hear post-pregame interviews. We're about 30 minutes away to game three. R2, you still with us? All right, R2, thank you for coming back and joining us. We're glad to have you here. Pretty sad when I got to have a robot as my co-host because my co-host is never around with me anymore. I feel sad. Just kidding. All right, let's move on to this week's look at this week. And by the way, Willie, you now have $5,000 in your bank from the 86 that you already had. I was too lazy and decided to give you $5,000. So enjoy, friend. Enjoy. For all your hard work and making brackets and whatnot, have $5,000. And being the league wordsmith, oh, disco connection. Oh, that's hilarious. The disco connection. That's funny. I need to have a theme song for disco on that one. Something like that. Anyway, sidetrack. Let's look at tonight's games. The tonight's lineup, of course, Montreal, Boston, Nashville, Winnipeg. Let's start things off. Game three, Boston and Winnipeg. What do we got in the lineup? Holmes, Breather, Williams, Horse Hockey, and Luch. I don't think Luch is yet to be seen yet. He's going to make his debut tonight. Smitty will be between the pipes, of course. And, of course, big lineup for the Winnipeg Jets, Lito, Resnick, Dustavason. Rev it up as, if he shows up, he showed up last night. Of course, Picard play. Disco will be playing net. Let's watch the disconnections. If they happen, Willie will have be streaming it live for us. He'll be cursing. He'll be swearing. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm excited. This is going to be the game to watch. So, again, we may have some issues with connections. Let's hope we don't. And I'd like to hear from Iceman. He says he's eating. He can't talk right now. He's eating. Can't put your fork down for 10 minutes. Come talk to Lekar, buddy. Eating. Roast beef at midnight. Who eats at midnight anyway? So anyway, what's Boston got to do tonight? Well, if anything, probably their weakest part is probably their defense. If anything, they need to put the puck in the net. They need to get scoring first early. Quick, early, and then just lock it down. Horse Hockey and Luch on D, lock it down. Get a nice, comfortable lead, lock it down, because to be honest with you, I think if you get a two or three goal lead on Disco, old Smitty, Ben Bishop of the league, ain't going to let any more goals up. So it's going to be interesting. Lots of shots. Shoot from anywhere, I would say, at this point. Get her done, because it's basically everything that all the marbles here, buddy, all the marbles. M. Holmes will probably, between them two, there'll probably be somebody be streaming that. I want to see Willie stream because he'll be cursed and whatnot. So there's game three matchup tonight. Will those lines change? We might see a replacement on defense there. Hard to say. Game three for Montreal and Nashville. We got a completely different line tonight. For the Montreal Canadiens, with the exception of Seabass, he had to play in Game 2. But he's on his original position, which is good. No offense, Seabass. You're great, but not that great on right wing. You're better at left wing, so I'm glad they got there. Firm Data. The brothers will be playing. Data, B3, and the Norris Trophy nominee. Diomedes will be, or D1, as some call him, will be facing off, and Kurdog will get the start in that. If there's any advice that I can give to these guys tonight, be focused. If you're in other leagues, fuck other leagues. Be focused, because that's going to be our biggest downfall. I know there's anybody who's going to be focused on this line. It's going to be Shortcut King. This guy's the most vocal in the party. He gets the team motivated. He's going to keep them going. No offense to Seabass, but Shortcut King seems to be that team, that line motivator a little bit, so. And that's what, especially with Kurdog behind the pipes, he helps out a lot back there too, calling things out. Kurdog, another thing if I can suggest, please make sure your lead is set. Please make sure all your stats are fine, because we don't want to repeat of last night. And mind you, you played fairly well, all things considering. But unfortunately, not the best. Now, we've got a new lineup for the Nashville Predators, with the exception of Hope's downfall. Tretiak, actually, I don't know if I may be wrong on that. Hope's downfall, I don't think, has played yet this week. No, he hasn't. This will be his debut. Tradiac. Legacy will make a debut tonight. Of course, Dayman, another Norris Trophy nominee with Fillins beside him against Marchessault. So will we see a change there? I know Fillins has got some no-shows in the past. Will he show up tonight? I think he was supposed to play last Wednesday, didn't show up. And we'll see what happens. But I think it's going to be a different game tonight than it was last night. Different lineup, different pace. It really comes down to defense and goaltending. If anything, Montreal, I think, might have the edge on the defensive aspect of it. I know Dayman's a good defenseman, but he can't do it all alone, and those two brothers play amazing together. As far as offense, I think they're pretty evenly matched. It's really going to come down to defense and goaltending for this game, and go Habs go, from my perspective. Then the Eversole Game 4. So, Game 4, do or die. If each of those teams that are down to it can pull off a win tonight, this Game 3, so it's really a pivotal game to win. Because it kind of takes a bit of relief off you going into Game 4. You're like, okay, we're not facing elimination. It doesn't mean we're going to step down the play as much, but we're, you know, we can relax a little bit. Don't have to grip that joystick too tight. So it's really pivotal that Montreal and Boston really take this game here to help the nerves, help the tension, release the tension a little bit, and so you don't grip that stick too tightly. But it will go to Game 4, we know that for sure. And in Game 4, we've got pretty much the same lineup with the exception of numbers 9, Busting Fungus. A little bit of change in defense here with the breather, playing right D and Scalderi. So Lucci's kind of mixing it up a little bit. Not really sure where he's going with that. He's still staying solid with Smitty. That's another question. If Game 3, your goaltender has a bad game, do you switch him out for Game 4? You know, that's something else you got to think about, too. Of course, over in Winnipeg, Lido, Resnick, Dustavason, Iceman, Jim from Falls, their best line is right there. And if anything, Winnipeg has the edge over them right there. As far as offensive goes, I mean, those guys play amazing together. Lockdown D between Iceman and Jim. Smitty's got to pull something out of his ass. And Williams got to put stuff in the net. I know for a fact that if you get goals early on Disco, it gets him shaky, he gets a little nervous, so that's going to be the style. Can't be doing the old Willy Wag the stick. It's got to be clean, hockey, pass the puck, look for the open spots, look for the lanes, no cheesy play, because, Iceman and Jim know that shit. So we'll see how that turns out, and I'm sure that'll be streamed again in the second part of the game. God, people still on that get fucking good Eichel. Jim from Files, you've been here long enough, you don't even know to look to the right to click the link. It'll tell you, bud. Actually, I lie. Maybe I didn't put the link in there, so let me just have a quick little gander, see if it's there. Oh, I feel bad. No, it is there. What am I talking about? Anyway, I will throw the link up again for you, Jim from Files, just because you're Jim from Files. There you go. You can't even hear me, but there's a link. So there you go. Have it. I got somebody on the line. Let's open it up. I bet you it's Willie again. He might have an answer to that question. You're on the air. Welcome to the Blue Line. Who's this?
What's up, bitch?
Casper Pollock. R2, do you hear him?
Oh, baby. What the fuck are you doing?
R2 is excited.
Oh, okay. He's got some wood.
Yeah, he's Archie giving him robot wood. So we're talking about tonight's matchup. We're talking about, I talked a little bit about, I don't know if you agree with me on this one, I think for Boston and Montreal, Game 3 is a pivotal game, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely.
You
got
to take that because it takes some of the pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Oh, I agree completely. I think it's going to take that game in order for Montreal to swing back into that one. Montreal loses that one, I think they're out. I think out of both series, I think Boston has, a lot of leaders on that team that can swing that series around if they win Game 3. Especially
and we were talking, and I'm going to agree to disagree with you on, and I don't know, with the Montreal and Nashville game. There's two complete different lineups showing up tonight. There's no Holmes rule,
yeah.
They've got scheduled. So you don't have to contain that motherfucker. And to meet my opinion, the stronger forward line for my team is playing tonight, in my opinion. The brothers are playing. I know Shortcut King and Affirmed Dad have been playing a lot of forward together. If there's going to be a line that's going to pull off the wins tonight, it's going to be this line, in my opinion. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to have to be. Exactly. It's going to have to be. To get you into that third win, I don't know if anybody will be streaming that game or not. I don't know who's in the lineup that who can stream that. Somebody from Nashville, maybe. I don't know.
I think Marsh has been streaming, hasn't he, off and on?
Yes, Marsh has been streaming, so hopefully he'll stream that for us tonight. You get the goalie's perspective, but everybody's going to be focused on Willie's stream because he says he's going to curse people out, and I want to see it.
Well, but you want something?
If they play bad,
in playoff hockey, man, you need that shit, man. You need someone to step up and have a voice.
And I felt that last night in Montreal. I felt there was, Dinkus was, talking up, don't worry, boys. But, people are, before the game, and I talked about this with Curdog a little bit, we talked about it, people before the game are all worried about making their next game in the next league, and just like, who cares? I don't want to hear about it. I want to focus on this game. Let's get it done. You know what I mean? There was talk about possibly taking a forfeit. It's playoff hockey. You don't take forfeits. You show up and play, get it done. You don't win the series by forfeits. That's just the way it goes. And I always have a hard time with people who play in other leagues, who sign up for the half an hour part mark of the league. It drives me nuts because you're really not giving yourself a lot of window, especially when it comes to playoff hockey. So, if you're scheduled for a playoff game in another league, you show up for that. You don't worry about anything else. That's my opinion.
Exactly.
Especially when you got six other guys. Actually, especially when you got 14 other guys counting on you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I 100% agree. I mean, it's even worse if you got your management's doing that, I forget. I remember some teams had management in other leagues, and they were actually making that a priority. They were signing up over there when they knew they had a game a half hour later, and they were making the lineups wait for them to come, and they were kind of forcing their players to get teams together, and that's just poor leadership.
And I did that too. I had to do that too a couple of times just because LG expects you to play so many games a week. And sign up for so many games, but I would always make sure the top of my mind. Well, for me anyway, HOL was my priority. But if it was playoff week and my team is in the playoffs here and over there, this team here would get priority. That's just the way it is. So breaking down the Boston game, we already talked about games. I don't want to backtrack on that one. Breaking down game four, Winnipeg's putting out a pretty strong lineup. Would you say?
Oh yeah, well it's clearly is their top line. And, the deal breaker in that game is going to have to be Willie running that Boston line against a line that's been playing together all season, pretty much. So,
well here's the thing, I'm having a hard time. Like, this seems to be a complete line jumble here. It's just because, they just got to get everybody in and a game played rule. I don't know. But, that just seems like a complete, breather. He don't play, he's been playing forward all season, has he not?
He's been playing defense off and on. He agreed when he went to Boston that he would play some defense as well. He's not a terrible defenseman. I think he's kind of another forward out there, but I don't know how much Williams has played with Fungus. Number 9 is pretty solid, and I think him and Williams could play really well together. I honestly never saw Versing Fungus play. I know TK was raving about him after scouting. So, I kind of think... unfortunately, they had to force a jumbled line in Game 4 when it actually really matters. But, Williams can take over a game, man. It's just a matter of Winnipeg can contain that. And they've got a really solid line out there.
So what does Williams do? Does Williams do the wiggle stick, or does he just, play smart, pass him hockey? What do you do here when you play with the guys
he'll draw traffic. He'll do his stick wiggling and stuff like that. But he'll be vocal and force guys to get open. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think when it comes to, say they lose game 3, win or lose, it's, they win, Williams has got to get them even. If they lose, some of these guys might lose that encouragement. Williams will be a leader to step up and be like, listen, guys, I've seen teams come back from even worse, So it's against tougher teams. And, Winnipeg's
exactly.
good. It's just a matter of getting a disco. What's that?
No, go ahead. Keep going.
I was going to say, Winnipeg has done really well. They've got a good line out there, but it's a matter of getting in Disco's head. I've seen him play really solid, but I've seen him really get fucking lit up, too. So, You know, say they get Nisko's head in game three, that just opens the door for game four, you know.
So here's my next question here is, three lagouts in two games last night for Disco. That's got to play an effect on momentum on Boston. You know, it probably contributed to them not being as successful as they wanted to be. But, you know, what's going to happen if that happens again? Well, I mean, as commissioner, I've already told them that, you know, they can have him replaced if it happens twice, as per the rules. But, I mean, that's really got to throw the momentum off quite a bit. I mean, three lagouts, two games. I know it's frustrating for the Winnipeg Jets, but I said earlier on the show, get a new router, get some DSL instead of dial-up, bud. I mean, it's playoff hockey. Yeah. You're playing goalie. Get your shit together. Make sure nobody's downloading porn kind of thing, right?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? Hopefully Boston keeps an eye on that. You know, according to players in that game, Boston didn't care when they were winning, and then all of a sudden they lost, and that's when they wanted to bring it up. You know what I mean? So, yeah, and apparently no one knew the rule because they didn't know until after game. So now they're aware, and, you know, if it becomes an issue again, they need to push the issue then. You know what I mean? Not wait till afterwards. So, you know, I don't think...
If I was in Boston's shoes and I was the owner in Boston or Montreal and a player, I'm not going to say goalie, I'm going to say a player keeps like, I'm going to refuse to play until they replace that player. And if they don't replace the player, then I'm going to call a BOD and to get it fixed. Because it's blatant in the rule. It doesn't say skater, it doesn't say goalie, it says player. And if a player keeps lagging out, they have to replace them with somebody who's not in the lineup.
Oh, yeah. If anything, it's even more brutal when it's a goalie because you pretty much have to stop then. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
The next phase off. It's not like till the end of the period. It's even more brutal. But
so let's talk about, we'll not harp on R2, do you agree everything what Cass is saying? I kind of figured that.
Yeah, see, he's a smart man.
R2, we're not going to the Dagobah system. Get over it, okay? Anyway, moving on, let's talk about Nashville, and happy May the 4th be with you, Dave, by the way, of Castor and Pollock. I think it's still, we can still say that.
You too, man.
May the 4th be with you, buddy. May the 4th be with you, buddy. So let's talk about Nashville and Montreal. We already talked about now Nashville's pretty much walked all over Montreal the first two games. Different lineup. Do you think, now let's look, here's an interesting game three tonight. They've got host downfall, trade act legacy, fill-ins, day man. What happens if nobody shows? You going to see a Holmes rule slide in there, you think?
Well, I honestly don't think so, because you said Holmes played both last night, right? He's scheduled game four. Yeah, he's scheduled game four.
Yes, he is scheduled.
So do they want to use his fourth game, hoping that they go for the sweep? You know, because, you know, Holmes... Yeah, I mean, as much flack as I give Hones and whatnot, when it comes to playoff hockey in smaller leagues, he'll show up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now, do you want to use your one guy that you know will show up in the first four games and not be able to use him again until game seven? You know what I mean? It's one of those kind of things. They do have the option, obviously. If they slide him in there and they win, they go up 3-0, they could take him out if someone else is on, you know. But I think, like I said, couple weeks ago, Nashville, when it comes to the playoffs, they'll show. They're just like last year's Anaheim. Remember they were forfeiting all the way over to the playoffs? Then they were like one of the only teams showing up for the playoffs. So, you know, they want it.
What's it going to come down to in this? I mean, the offense looks pretty... the only thing with Montreal that's not in this is they have been playing together, Shortcut King and Infirm Data. The Du Brothers play together all the time, so it's not really an issue of chemistry. In my opinion, it's going to come down to who's going to be the stronger D and who can stop the pucks from going in the net, because this could turn out to be a score fest. You know what I mean?
I think as far as both teams are concerned, I think Nashville's got the stronger the offensive front, getting Filthy actually shows up, A1 Freak and Hones rule. I think
it's
as far as Nashville's concerned, their weakest spot is probably Chelios. You know what I mean?
He's not in that game, is he?
Who?
They don't have Filthy in that game.
Game four? Yes, I'm looking right at it. Getting Filthy, A1 Freaking Home.
Oh, sorry, my bad. I was looking at the wrong one. Yes, sir, my bad. Yep. Isn't he supposed to play prior to game four?
What's that?
Isn't Filthy supposed to be prior to game four?
He was scheduled for game one or two.
Yeah.
I can't remember if he showed up or not. But,
Probably not. Game one or two, he was scheduled. What do we got here? Chelios. Let's have a look here. Nobody. I don't think he was scheduled.
He was originally scheduled.
Yeah, technically, he should be playing in game three, correct?
It's a matter of wording, but I think it was worded that way last year, and I think nobody really got pushed until game four because of availabilities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think if they at least get him in by the end of game four, I think it's plausible. You know what I mean? I think I know getting filthy is one of those guys that is only available for a couple games a week. You know, so
I gave Willie
$5,000
today for answering the Hulk Hogan question. He's already putting bids out. He's already putting bids out. Lee Wordsmith.
Oh, Jesus.
Didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, he just put $3,500 down on Nashville. I don't know why you're putting it on Nashville, buddy. Well, you could win a little bit.
Which one?
Not a lot of money.
He put in the first game
or second game. He had $86 in his bank, so $86 I gave him $5,000, so now he's playing. He's like burning a hole in his pocket now, huh?
Oh, Jesus.
He did get the question right, though. The question was, I played Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
And I said, what wrestler was that their theme song for one WrestleMania? And he got it right, Hulk Hogan. So,
yeah.
Of course he'd get it right. He loves wrestling.
Well, but
so what's your prediction?
Are
we going to see...
He was in one of the Rocky movies, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, too. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
are we going to see Game 5 tonight, or are we going to see it all done tonight? What do you think, Caster?
I think we'll see Game 5 in the Boston series. To see a Game 5 in the other one, Montreal's going to have to win Game 3. I think I'd be very surprised with the lineup out there that Montreal pulls out Game 4, but, you know, I think Game 4 is really going to – I think Game 4, let's say, you know what I mean, that studio is probably going to be the difference maker in that game. If Owens Rule and A1 Freak and those guys can start putting up goals quick on him,
well,
I think Nashville got that one. Yeah.
They lit him up last night. And that's what I'm worried about. You know, he let in 9 goals. Is he going to show up?
Yeah. It's one of those kind of things. Oh, exactly. And I think a lot of it's going to come down to that game 3. That is a must win for Montreal because, you know what I mean, I'm not going to say anyone in that game 3 for Nashville is weak by any means.
Yep.
But there's a lot more strength in that game 4 lineup. You know what I mean? So Montreal really needs to take a stab at that game 3 and then maybe, you know, make a push for game 4. You know, it's one of those kind of things.
Montreal's got their 3 top scorers playing in both games tonight, Firm Data, Short King,
mm-hmm.
King and Seabath. Two of their top D-men. Their best line is out against, I would say, probably Nashville's second line. Or I would say line 1.5, maybe.
Yeah.
Would be fair to say that. They're 1.5 version line. Because really, they have 2 solid lines. And, you know,
I was
going to
say, a juggled line for them is almost a starting line on any other team in general. So it's hard to say 1-2.
Yeah.
But,
exactly.
I think what's key to also Montreal in game 3 and 4 is a matter of shortcut elite or shortcut king, knowing that, you know, I mean, you guys are going to have to win that series as a team defense. He's not very good as a defensive center, and he's going to have to pull back the reins and hope, you know, you guys are going to have to cover those 3 forwards. The center and the 2 defensemen are going to have to be on point, and they are not going to be shy with using their own points. So the forwards, but it's going to have to be a real positional game for Montreal to win both of those games. And
I agree. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to go a little bit of tunes. Going to come back. Games will be started. We're here for about 30 more minutes. The line is open. The number is 646-716-8472. We're going to talk a little bit about the awards. A little bit of sneak information about that. We've got some sneak information about upcoming season 5, about, you know, kind of the things that we've been talking about. And then hopefully we'll have some results for you for Game 3. So we'll be right back. In honor of May the 4th be with you, we'll be back after this. Anyway, welcome back. May the fourth be with you all. Praise to be the teams. They're all going to need it tonight. So we got about 30 minutes left in the show. As you all know, Caster, and we all know, and you know, we all know, you know, the announcement has not officially been announced yet, but we will be running a Season 5, spring-summer season, just waiting a confirmation of all of our BODs, and we're already starting the process of getting owners selected. But, of course, more information about that won't be released, because we don't want to take away from the playoffs, because I think the playoffs are pretty important here. But one thing we did, what has happened, is the ballots have gone out for voting, and if you want to review the nominees for the Season 4 awards, they're posted in League News section. The ballots have now gone out. I've got 8 responses. There's 20 responses to come back, and I'm going to tell you, man, looking at some of the responses, there's some close ones, there's some runaway ones, there's ones that they didn't quite expect, so we could see history in the making in the XOHL this season. I talked about it earlier last week. I said to myself, could we see Smitty go rookie, MVP, and Vezina, the Triple Crown? Could be possible. He's nominated for all three.
Oh, definitely.
Very interesting. Definitely. So looking at those nominations, Caster, of course, was on the nomination committee. Are you a voting member, Caster? I don't think you are. You won an award?
I never get any love.
You're nominated.
I've never gotten an award over here. Never gotten an award over here, man.
You're nominated.
I've been nominated before.
Oh,
I think I've been nominated before.
Yeah. Okay. So, but you are nominated this season. So maybe you might pull a win off here. But looking at that nominee list, does it seem pretty fair to you?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of names in there I like. There's definitely. I'm actually surprised that, like, Williams isn't in the Heart. I think he took Boston on his back. Boston, you know what I mean? Record-wise, was one of the best teams all season. Yeah, I'm actually surprised he didn't get any love with that. I know I nominated him myself. But there's a lot of names on there that I know I put in there, and I know a lot of people as well thought should be on there. So, yeah, I like the spread of names there.
Well, he is nominated for Frank Selke, the defensive aspect of the game. That would definitely be carrying your team on the back. He's up there for that number. And, unfortunately, a lot of these guys here, it's not no particular order there, but a lot of these guys were getting 7-8 votes for nominations.
Yeah.
So, top 5 votes, of course. And he definitely got some votes, but unfortunately, not everybody gets nominated, but he's still up on the board.
I would be surprised that goes to one of the centers on there. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really, really good defensive centers on there.
Yeah, exactly. But. And of course, Tretiak made that. You know, as much as we all like to shit on Tretiak, he definitely put his numbers up this season. Might have a lot to do with the team he was on, but he's definitely deserving of that nomination. Rookie wise, pretty straight. There was a question whether Lito was a rookie. Now, if anybody's questioning, he did play in season 3, but I think he only played like 6 games. Or season 2.
Yeah,
so
I think to get that rookie out of there, you've got to play at least 15 or 16 games in order to get your rookie. You know what I mean? It's almost like a minor leaguer in like baseball. If you don't make it to the majors and play a certain amount of games, you're still considered a rookie kind of thing. Same thing with I think hockey is the same way, isn't it? If you don't necessarily get enough NHL time. So.
Exactly. And, of course, the James Norris Memorial Trophy looks pretty straightforward to me. I didn't know surprises there. Of course, we knew D-Man was up there. Jim Profiles, who originally signed up for forward, I think he ended up playing a lot of D back. He's just too damn good, and you can't really...
I think I actually nominated all 5 of those guys. And considering the list of 5, I'm assuming a lot of people did.
Interesting to see how D1 would have scored on that list without his... D partner's brother. I think his brother should have been up there. He was nominated, but he just didn't make the cut. I think
Diomedes had a way higher plus minus. I think as far as that was concerned.
Yeah.
As well,
Some people vote based on stats. Some people nominated based on how well they played with the team. I prefer a little mix of both. I think that just because you got a high plus minus doesn't mean you're a good defenseman. Yeah. You have to kind of look. Whose team he's on, how many goals are being scored on the team, what's the goals for, you know what I mean? Things of that nature.
Yeah, well, yeah,
if you've got a high
he's playing with that same
team like Chicago, you're a pretty good defenseman.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, but with Diomedes, like, you know, I'm only saying this because you brought it up with Diomedes. The fact that he had a higher plus minus than his brother, they played together all the time. The fact that he had a higher plus minus means that he was out there either more shorthanded or whatever. You know what I mean? That's,
that's true.
That says a lot. That means he's out there another piqué. You know what I mean? So penalties is also another thing when it comes to looking at, like, James Norris as well, I think, in my opinion. If your defense should be not taking penalties as much as, you know what I mean, say, you know, forwards per se. You don't even know what should be taking penalties, but that's...
As Dinkins always says, put that discipline up to 80. Put it up at least to 80, he always said.
Yeah.
Looks like they're just getting underway in Boston, in Winnipeg, and they're kind of picking their spots there right now. Look, Rev It Up actually showed up. So both teams have showed up. Horse Hockey, Skull Degree. The Breather's actually going to be playing forward in this game. And Holmes and Williams. So, I mean, this is your strong... line up there. So, Boston, here's to you. Good luck. And
two really good forward lines ready to go, man.
Yeah,
I think Boston's
got
the edge on defense.
As of yet, so maybe he hasn't got him. I don't know if he's putting
him
up there yet or not.
Well, according to Marsh, Hones told him not to stream.
Fuck you, Hones.
I don't know if we'll get it. Marsh was complaining about lag or something. I think Marsh was complaining about lag. Last week or something.
If you're not hosting, it doesn't matter. I don't know what he's talking about.
Hey, I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
It was the game that they lost.
Well,
I'm taking Holmes off the Hart Memorial Trophy nominee list. All right, just for that comment.
He's messing with our system.
Exactly. Caster, you're out there for a couple of awards. You're out there for the Lady Bing. Sportsman generally conduct as a player. Also plays really well. Also, you're there for the leadership quality. This usually goes to a BOD or a staff writer, and Caster, you're actually nominated for that. So, I know you've talked about it in the past. I said you really miss being an owner. And did you find it a bit of a difference? You know, did you struggle with it this season? Just, you know, watching your
jersey, I did, because there's
not being able
I'm
to make the moves
those...
that you wanted to move.
Yeah, I'm management, you know what I mean, in real life, like as my job and stuff like that. So I'm always looking at ways to improve things and stuff like that.
I'm
going to
trade you from
struggle.
The meat department over to the friggin' vegetable. Is that what you're doing? You've been trading.
Yeah, I'm like, you son of a...
I can see it now, you've been a trade block for
and
your
employees,
don't
you? You know, you always... As a player, you know what I mean, when you're – sometimes ownership don't like your ideas and don't like you suggesting things to teammates and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you always feel like you're stepping on someone's feet. I like being able to, you know, when something's not going right, say something. You know what I mean? Like, say shit. You know what I mean? And I felt like I really had my hands tied this season, and, you know, it is what it is.
So, you know, obviously you're going to come back. You're going to come back this season as BOD. We're talking a little bit about this season. We're talking, we've got, you haven't denied it yet, so you're coming back. So,
we'll
for fuck's sake, why would you just come on for one season and not finish off the legacy?
I don't know. A lot of people didn't like the way I did shit, man. And I busted my ass all season, man.
Well, people are still nominating you for sportsmanship and shit, man, and great leadership, so... You know, what people didn't like the way you did shit? The people that are asses, that's probably who. So, you know what I mean? You remember the people, most people that complain are the ones that are asshats. So, you know, whatever. It's something we were lacking this season is the hammer, and you brought the hammer, and I think it was part of the success of the league this season, and I think that is what we needed. We needed somebody to play the bad guy. You played the bad guy, and now people know. Now you set a tone. Now if you leave, somebody else takes that position... gonna go all the fuck. You know what I mean? We're just gonna walk all over them. It's like, well, Caster's not here. I can do whatever I want. You know exactly that's gonna happen.
At the end of the day, I don't know what's going on.
You're waiting for a comeback show. That's what you're waiting for. Comeback show.
You know what? Like, if we don't get enough owners to sign up, I might throw my hat in the ring for that. I don't know, man.
R2 is even saying, just stop talking. Just stop talking.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm going to use him like a trash can. Damn it.
It's wrong, sir. That's
No.
All right, so like the awards look pretty simple. So what we're looking at next season, we've been talking a little bit about, we're going to go for the shortened season. We're looking, hopefully,
yep.
June. We're going to mash in, hopefully, the free agency period and the draft into 1 week, just so we're not running to the end of August, basically. Man,
yep.
I can't wait till X-Bone comes out where we can stream all the games. Isn't that going to be exciting?
Oh, that's going to be that's going to bring a whole new element to everything.
It's going
to bring a lot more excitement to the season. I mean, like,
media?
People will be able to write articles with actually a brain on their shoulders. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, with actual
it's
detail.
Open up media
and we might actually get people with like highlight reel threads, top 10 plays. I think it'll definitely kickstart the media aspect of the site, and I think that should be another focus. Like Willie's always talking about how he can do like site stuff and everything. I know Foxbrook's thinking about seeing what he can do. Maybe he can help her implement a whole media section and actually highlight that, because I think that'll help bring a lot of excitement to the league as far as.
Oh, for sure.
When people aren't in game.
Are amazing.
Yeah.
And the guy gets. You know, I'm looking at the last article he posted. I mean, he gets over 500 views in some of his articles. You mean, and
yeah.
I mean,
oh,
to have that go to waste, and people love to read that shit. And if you can put a video with the read, it makes it even more better. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. And like with 360,
I
don't know if you've ever noticed.
Ideas.
I know. It happens to slip.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I don't know if you've noticed, but on NHL 15 on 360, you actually can't even upload your stuff anymore to, like, EA Sports or anything like that. So you can't even, like, make highlight reels, like, if you wanted to. You can't import pictures or videos to the EASports.com anymore. I noticed that, like, a couple months ago.
So is it all through Twitch?
Well, yeah, you can do it through Twitch, but obviously you have to have the apparatus for it. Because Twitch doesn't really work with the Xbox 360. With the One, that's what I'm saying. With the One, it'll make it so much easier
because
now
Twitch can save everything, right?
So they can save whole games.
So the Xbox, the X-Bone has the actual capture card built in, right?
Yeah, it'll save everything. You go to the site and have it so that it, you know, all your stuff can archive. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that would eliminate the whole scouting lobbies and everything, man. I mean, you could just stream scouting games, and owners can view scouting games, and, you know, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait. Now, it all comes down to EA, though. Are they going to fuck us over again this season? I don't know. If they do, I'm done. I'm done. I'm closing the league down.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it anymore. That's it. And
yeah,
I'm pretty sure most leagues are like that.
Yeah. Well, everybody's pretty much just waiting for it to come next gen, like, actually over fully and not just at what they did, you know, so I think this is pretty much the layover to that, and I think I don't even know if they'll even release it for the 360 this year. Have you even heard anything about that? I don't think they're going to, but if they do bring it to the One, they better bring it fully. You know what I mean? If they don't,
exactly.
EA would be stupid not to. They're going to lose a lot.
There we go. We got 1-0 for Boston on the board. Just update
there.
Quick update. Second period, 1-0. It looks like whoever murder shot is from Williams and White. So it looks like that might have been MS Holmes. May have put that in the net.
Yeah, Holmes.
So yeah,
I only know that because we played against him the other day.
So there you go, 1-0 on the board. I don't know what the Montreal, see if we had the Xbox One, we'd know. Somebody'd be streaming the shit. Maybe if anybody out there listens got an update on that score, can check out their Xbox 360 highlight Seabass or something like that. Let us know what's going on. Season 5 planning room is up. A lot of good information coming out of there. This is based off the survey we put out to everybody. A lot of people put in some good information. Talking about a player rights section. They're talking about, do we need to improve the EACU system? All that stuff. About trades. Everything's up for grabs. All that information, all those ideas that you guys are going to put down there, we're going to take back when we go to the rule book and basically, weigh in your discussion there. So keep the information coming. If you got something, a topic on there that you don't think fits, add it and put it in there. Put your suggestions in there. We want to know because it's going to help us make the league strong. A lot of talk about, I kind of want to focus on this a little bit. We've got about 50 minutes of the show, and I know you're on the same page with me when it comes to this. I want to talk about league size. When I set out to do this, I never wanted to be an LG league. That was never my intention. I wanted to have a small community where everybody knew your name, like a Cheers community, where everybody felt a part of the community. You weren't just a number. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about, you know, you'll never grow if you don't do this. You'll never grow. We want to grow, but we don't want to overgrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to fit into my big boy pants for quite some time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. Not to break your thoughts, Undershot just said 2-1 Montreal right now.
Right on. Good. 2-1 Montreal.
But,
good. So,
but yeah, to
games
to
there?
Kind of build off of that thought, I believe the same way. I think, well, with smaller leagues,
you have more of a community.
Here.
Winnipeg just tied it up 1-1. Boston's actually on the power play going into the second. They're still halfway through the second. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
But, yeah, like with smaller leagues, you have a community, and you're not someone who's just going to get buried in the back and stuff like that. So I kind of like the 12 to 16 teams. 12, you know what I mean? Those are ideal to me.
Boston scored on the power play, 2-1.
There you go. At Boston? Yeah. That's a line that thrives on the power play.
Yeah.
Like Willie Holmes.
It also thrives on the penalty kill, too.
Yeah.
Love to hit. Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, well, once you start getting too big, you start losing a lot of the people that, you know, maybe not be as talented but are more dedicated and, you know, we'll never compete with a league like LG as far as trying to take them over, and I'm fine with that.
Don't want to.
I like a lot.
I
like a lot of the, yeah, you know.
I got guys coming to me like DeChronic. I got guys, you know, I'm jumping into parties. They're saying, no, we really like this league. We like the fact that you guys are small, competitive. Like, you know, Minimum Up says, I can't believe the competition that's in this league. And you lose that as you get bigger because then your talent starts to spread thin. And it's just too hard to manage. I mean, this is a hobby for me, right? I don't want it to become a job. I don't want to be a Tristan. I don't want to be a BM McDonald. Good for them doing what they're doing. And people can go play that style of hockey. But if you want a nice community, small atmosphere, bunch of mature older guys are not going to get in the chat box and drop the N-bomb every 5 minutes or call you a homo or whatever, this is the place to be. This is where you want to be, right here, right? You know.
Oh, yeah. And for the most part, I think, you know, everyone keeps the trolling and all that stuff light. And, you know, obviously some people get upset every now and then. But in some of those bigger leagues, that's all it is. Like, I don't even like going in the chat box in some of those other leagues.
I close my chat box off in LG.
Yeah.
I don't even lick him.
Yeah. So, you know, like, no. I think with, like, a lot of the ideas that people are putting out there, you know, obviously, like you said, we'll go over it and look at it and see what we could plausibly do with some of that stuff. You know, I mean, summer season's always one of those kind of seasons where you can almost treat it like almost like a beta season where you can try some stuff out.
Yeah, you
out,
can trial things.
Kind of see.
Trial things.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Kind of try
like
some
this
stuff
season,
out.
I think we're going to trial mashing the free agency and the draft together. You know, see how that works. If it works well, we'll carry it on to next season. Because I always found that, you know, maybe we'll trial no scouting. See how it goes.
Yep.
Nobody scouts.
Yep.
You never know. Just to see how it goes. So it's a chance for, you know, we're probably not going to be as big as we want to be in the summer season, in the summertime. We may 10 teams, 8 teams, I don't know. The fact that we're going to be 6 weeks seems to entice people a little bit better because they don't want to be playing all summer. And
they're already looking to trade in the game towards a new game, pretty much, after a certain point.
By the time August comes around, you're looking to trade the game in. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I'm getting a video a lot. I don't know for loading video for, I don't know if there's a lag out. There's been a lag out in the game. Yep, it looks like there may have been a lag out. They've gone to the, I wonder if that's Disco.
Nashville's 2-2 is their score.
Yeah, I seen that
Nashville
up there.
Nashville,
Montreal. Looks like the last time I looked, Williams Twitch was just sitting on the, they're still in the game.
Yeah.
Williams is calling them out, saying, smart to fuck up, let's do play some defense. So, he didn't like the...
You hear me? Nashville, Montreal.
3-2 Boston right now, going to the third. Ooh, good game. Good game.
There you go.
Very good game. Both good games, both boys.
Yeah.
So here
we go.
Which
you knew game 3 was going to be really good.
Exactly. Exactly. We knew that. We've got 11 minutes left.
Like I said, I think both game threes for the teams down 2-0, this is the pivotal game. You almost kind of need to win this game because Boston doesn't have as strong a line in that game four as they do right now. And unfortunately, they're going against Winnipeg's top line. You know,
yeah,
same
exactly.
thing with, Montreal. Montreal doesn't necessarily have a weak line out there. They're just facing, Nashville's weaker line out of the two kind of thing. So.
You can still hear me okay, can you?
What's that?
Yeah, okay, I just wonder if you can still hear me. I kind of X'd out my studio here on the studio, so I don't really know how much time I have left. We'll find out. But we've got lots of time here left in the two games. Now, 3-2 still. Boston's going on the power play here late in earlier in the third. Looks like the hits are pretty even, which is kind of surprising. We could see a game four, five being forced here with Boston.
Yep. That's what happens when you start getting disciplined, man. Those hits start to go down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. If I cut off, just hang on. I'll come back. I got to just see if I can get my shit working here. Something happened.
11:19. When did you have it going off? 11:30?
Yeah, 11:30. So we'll know by then.
Yeah,
we'll tell
by
then.
It feels like 11 minutes. Yeah.
If we just all of a sudden start to cut off, then you guys know why. Another thing I want to talk about this season is, all the BOD are, like I said, majority of the BOD are returning, which is good because that makes for consistency. I don't want to have to bring anybody new on board, retrain them, which is kind of nice. We're bringing some new people on staff. You talk about Williams coming on helping out with site admin stuff. Foxbrook's going to be working with him, possibly. And
Williams got a lot of good ideas.
He's
a very intelligible
kid.
What's that?
4-2, baby. Williams just scored to make it 4-2.
There you go.
And as
nice.
He scored that, he said, "I'm the fucking best. Look at me."
Oh, that's my boy.
Now, here's one thing about Willie. I played on his team in LG, and I thought he was a complete dick. But the more
Willie's all talk,
home,
man. He's the man. I love
him. He makes me laugh, man. He makes me laugh. He's dedicated. He's on the site all the time. We definitely got to put him to work because this guy wants to do something. So we got Lucian there.
He's
talking
one of the very rare people.
He's
one of the very rare people I've actually traded that fucking. We're still friends. Everybody takes that shit to heart. He just wants. He loves
talking
to play.
About, man.
He's
traded me three times. I'm still your friend.
I know. Well, I'm saying that's what I said. One of the very few.
You even fucking addressed me, man. You fucking addressed me.
Come on, that was fun.
Oh shit.
We were playing.
Well,
a game.
Here, interesting fact: Winnipeg Dustin Mason. Resnick just scored to make it 4-3, 12:36 left in the period. And definitely an injury. I don't know if we have an update going over Montreal. Looks maybe it's still 2-2. And,
and
Williams just called a motherfucker. And they've got a penalty. They just took a penalty. So looks like Boston's going to go shorthanded here with 10 minutes left in the period. Another thing I want to talk about, too, is as far as season planning goes, something that hasn't come up in the season, I was going to put it up there. A lot of people were talking about the ECUs and sitting on the bench. Let's say Bassani. Captain Ride the Pine has issues with people sitting on the bench not playing. And I always argue back, well, you can sit on the sign slip and not play, or you can sit on the address bench and get a somewhat of an opportunity to play. But he doesn't seem to grasp that. One of the things that his argument was, well, why do you go with roster players before you would go with a bench player if you need somebody for that night? Maybe that could be fixed, I don't know, by decreasing the max games. What do you think?
I think five-game max is if you wanted to utilize the bench, I think five-game max is pretty big because a lot of people schedule for that. So people are guaranteed 5 games a week pretty much. And, you know, that's what eliminates not needing your ECUs. I think if you were to cut down to 4 games max, I think – that would open up the door for ECUs to actually play. I wouldn't be against that. I think 5 games a week is a lot. You know, in LG you only play 3. In a lot of the other smaller leagues we had, 4 was the max as well. So pretty much a lot of teams that only ran 12, you ran 4-4 with pretty much your 2 lines, you know, quote unquote 2 lines you had. So,
update from Montreal.
I mean, maybe that's something that should be explored. Maybe it'll increase the amount of EC use. The argument's also there's a lot of EC. We need to, as a BOD group, we need to select somebody who needs to contact these ECUs, the guys on the sign-up list, and actually make sure that they are active. There's a lot of people being picked up.
In my opinion, I think that should be owners. If you're running a successful team and you want to pick extra people up, you should find out who's active. Why should we do the work for you?
Yeah, but we had the random assignment thing going through. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Now, that should fall on us. And I think for the most part, the beginning of the season, we thought Miz was doing that.
Why don't
maybe
we just
now
blame Bloop and say he should be doing that?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is I was going to blame him but with his return.
No.
Maybe that's a perfect job for him. You know what I mean? He's a great player guy. You know, he handles everything with kid gloves, and I think he wants what's best for the league in general.
4-3.
So I think he'd be someone perfect for that. So I think we dropped the ball with that a little bit, but.
Well, and like I said, definitely undressed bench. I mean, I don't think we should eliminate the ECU call-up or undressed bench, in my opinion, but I think there could be some tweaking there. You know, always come around to decreasing the max games. I mean, all it depends on sign-ups, too, right? I mean, we may have 200 people sign up, but we may not have enough. Like, do you really want to put half-ass owners? No, I don't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I agree.
The best owner for the job.
Oh, I agree, 100%.
Well, you know, just pick an owner because
you should know me. I always say leadership sets the tone for any league.
Exactly.
You know.
And you know, it's really hard to gauge the return rate this year, basically, because it's summer season, and you know, you can't hold against owners to want to come back. You know, we talked about having a player, a captain player, or some kind of player that would be a keeper of some sort, but that didn't seem to be. Summer season, so you mean you're not getting the returning owners.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, what we've got confirmed thus far, I know Iceman has confirmed that he wants to come back and be an owner. I know that Rainbow Treasure has agreed to come back owner. We haven't heard from Eichel. We haven't heard from Luch.
Nope.
I mean, a lot of it depends on how their summer goes, and a lot of it's going to depend on, you
know.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it depends on how the playoffs finish out. Some people need to get that, you know what I mean, just get that steam off. Remember, a week ago, Ploop was saying he wasn't going to play at all, and you know, I mean, now he's agreed to come back.
PlayStation, he said. Yep.
Yeah. So.
So I mean, all of a sudden,
you know,
we were talking about
maybe
trying to
maybe people just need
BOD
to let the playoffs finish out,
good.
And kind of that's pretty much how I always do it. Whenever I'm asked what I'm going to do, if am I going to come back as owner or whatever, I always say, dude, playoffs haven't finished yet. Let it sink in for a little bit. You know. So. You know, it's one of those kind of things. Just let it, we got to. I think once the playoffs start to finish out a little bit, we'll get a better idea what's going on.
Exactly. So just give you a
summer
preview.
Season always takes special owners to run in general because it's always.
It's 4-3. Winnipeg is on the power play with 1:30 left to go. This is of course game 3. Boston is up 4-3. We'll try to stay with this as long as we can.
Yeah. Undershot. Last thing he typed was 2-2 after 2:05 ago. So.
So we haven't heard anything from over there in Montreal, but we're gonna stay with this game here because Winnipeg's really pressing here in the last minute, really pressing.
Yeah, which is expected. They've got a really good forward line out there.
Luch put in the chat goes, "I'll take pitch for the stream needed. Stick around in case Disco legs out." So they're already anticipating that. So next week, of course, we'll be back next week with the radio show again. I'm not sure what day, but we'll probably do a Stanley Cup final review, probably Sunday night. And, of course, the award show. We'll pick the night to do the award announcements. And
at
the end of the
Stanley Cup. You cut off the finalization of that on, Friday? Friday is when you're stopping votes?
Yeah, the votes will start coming in on 11:59 on Thursday. I think I said Friday. I can't remember. And then we won't announce those winners until, of course, during the award show on after the playoff, at the Stanley Cup Finals.
Okay.
So,
awesome.
11 seconds left, still 4-3. Boston's really playing it right now, and they're keeping it down low. Looks like they're going to walk away with here in force game 5. Good stuff.
Like I said, that was the line that is going to turn the tide, man.
Yeah, exactly. And they're going to get a late goal. Oh, no goal. So good job, Boston's going to game. They're at least going to force a game 5. Can they pull off a tie and go 7-3
only
Montreal?
Only hope cement why Willie should have gotten a Hart nomination, man, for again from some of these
Look
people.
Look at that. Big
he
update.
Is a fucking leader, man. He gets no love, but he gets plenty of love from me, my friend.
Montreal won 7-3, baby. Wow.
Holy fuck. Oh,
7-2 with a minute left. 7-3 Montreal. Wow. Good stuff, Montreal. They're going to force a game five. Well, there you have it. We've got about 90 seconds left in the show. Castor, I want to thank you for coming on. You going to be around Sunday night?
I haven't seen my work schedule, but there's a heavy chance I will be.
Okay, well, Sunday or Monday, we'll figure it out.
Well, I was
going to
say, definitely won't be Monday. I work till 10 p.m. every Monday.
Yeah, I know you work
Friday.
But
I'll give you a 90% chance I'll be here for Sunday.
Another thing I want to talk before we go, and I want people to, we've got airtime. We can run our shows every night on the air on Extreme Online Radio Hockey. Another thing I want to talk about, and you can talk about this, Gaston. This might be something you might be interested in. One of the things that came up during the season planning room or one of the suggestion box was, you know, an off-topic site, you know, talk about other video games. I'd love to have a radio show where people come on and talk about other video games. That'd be great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And talk about what's coming out, what's new. You know, give your review. You play a lot of video games. Anybody who plays a lot of video games can get on, give us a review, what they think. That's the kind of ideas we're looking for. Some of you want to come on and do a real show about NHL or Major League Baseball, give me a shout. I'll set you up. I'll get you hooked up. Thanks for tuning in, guys. This is The Blue Line. I'm your host, Lacara22. R2D2 saying goodnight. He left already. He had a pee, I guess. And Castor and Pollock, thanks for joining us. Have a good night, guys.
Hey, you too, guys. Everybody, later.